Last week, we talked about never give up. We looked at authenticity and how we need to live lives that are authentic, that are real, so that people can know us, so that we can have an effect on the world around us, because that is what is different, is when we are real, when we're authentic in the lives of other people. We looked at, I'll have you open with me, Hebrews 10:25 is the verse that we're digging into. So if you have your Bible, if you've got your phone, dig in there. And we'll read that in a sec. But we looked again at authenticity last week that we're going to dig into more this week and what happens because of authenticity and what we do there. So hopefully you're there. Hebrews 10:25. This is where we get the phrase never give up, because it starts in this verse. It says, let us, but never give up. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Never give up. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop going to small group. And the thing is with that, church isn't going to save you. But what the writer of Hebrews is calling us there is to just be with people, be in the lives of other people where you can be truthful with, you can be authentic with, and then you can call into accountability and live in accountability with one another. So Hebrews 10:25 is where that is coming out of. Last week, I told you guys I ran this race called the Spartan Race. I don't know if you remember that, but this crazy race, 13.4 miles, 25 plus obstacles. Sounds kind of crazy in your head. I thought about it. I said, you know what? I can do that. I can train. I got 6 months. I don't know if you remember, but I ran once within that 6 month period. So I was toast when I showed up to this thing. But still, in my mind, I thought, you know what? It's still hypothetical. That means it's not real. I think I can do it. If that challenge comes at me, I'm totally good. I got it. That's what I had in my mind. And then I showed up. I show up. I'm dressed. I've got tennis shoes on. I don't even think I brought a power bar. I was in big trouble. So if I was at a marathon itself, I'd be in big trouble. But I show up, and the first thing I see at the finish line is these guys are jumping over fire, just dripped in sweat after they have run this thing. And I realized people have got like war paint on and just mud like smothered all over them. And so I'm like, I'm scared. I'm scared to death, because here I thought that this was a thing that I could tackle. I could do it alone, and then I get in it. So we start running. We start going, and we start hitting these obstacles along the way. Some of the things we hit: monkey bars. You say, you know what? I did that in elementary school. Okay, imagine doing that after 6 miles of running. They're at different levels. They're at different lengths. And if you fall on any of these obstacles, if you fall, has anybody heard of a burpee? Probably not. Maybe. PE. Burpees are the worst. Okay, so if you fell off, it's not a bad fall, but what is horrifying is you got to do a burpee. A burpee is when you come down, you get to push up position. Some even make you go down. You come up, and you jump. That's one. You have to do 30 of those after any obstacle. And there are 25 to 30 obstacles. So every time I keep going, every time I'm thinking, okay, I just got to keep going. I'm totally okay. Keep going. Push through the pain. The pain gets worse. It gets more and more. So monkey bars. Then we've got barbed wire. Okay, maybe if it's just a tiny little field of barbed wire, I can get muddy. It feels good. That's not it. It's this giant length of barbed wire. You're rolling on stones. You're just dragging in the mud. It is hard. Okay, so that's not hard enough. We've got these things where you like hang upside down and you go. You've got to be like 50 feet. I'm turning into a fish story. It looked like 50 yards. I don't know how long it was, but you're hanging above ice cold water. This is in December, and you got to crawl against this thing and hit the bell. If you don't, here's another picture of kind of how long it is. If you don't, you hit the water. 30 burpees. Even if you're like so close to hitting that bell, that's it. 30 burpees. Some of the other obstacles we hit were these walls. You say, oh, that's sissy, Harrison. I can do that wall. Yeah, that was at mile 2. And then we keep going. We ran some hills. We ran all this stuff. This is at mile 10. Mile 10, there was a 7-foot. Mile 11, there was an 8-foot. And mile 12, there was a 9-foot wall. You get to the point where I came in going, I got this. I can do it. No matter what this thing throws at me, I'm golden. And then I get to this point, and this isn't shameful. This is going, I cannot do this without you. This is not a picture of me, but this was me standing there going, I ran with my wife and my father-in-law and my sister-in-law and then all these random people around me. But when we're in the midst of that, I said, I need your help. I cannot do it. I need your help to get over this wall. I need your help to get over this obstacle. Without you guys here, I cannot finish this alone. I will give up. But God calls us to never give up. So many times along that run, I wanted to stop and just go, hey, just give me a truck, get me home. I don't even care anymore. But the people around me rallied around me. They carried me over those walls. They picked up my burden when I couldn't carry it. And we went and we finished together. We had to run all the way there. But I couldn't do it alone. And the same is true of our Christian walk, of the daily lives that we live. Maybe you think that you got it. Maybe you think, you know what? I don't have that much pain in my life. I'm okay. I'm good. But the truth is, you cannot do it alone. God did not create us to live in isolation. God did not create us to just do this thing all by ourselves. He created us for accountability. Accountability. And we'll talk about how this happens, how this does in the form of small groups. So something I want you to think about this morning while I'm talking is, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you going to be when crisis comes? What kind of friend are you going to be when those walls show up? Are you going to call somebody to something? Call them to truth, even if it hurts? Or are you just going to let them suffer? So think about that. Accountability. What accountability means is holding each other up and bearing each other's burdens. That comes straight from Scripture. Galatians 6, 1 through 2, if you're taking notes, write that down. Talks about how we are to bear one another's burdens, to rally around each other. We're not called to carry this alone. All of us, as the church, as the community, carry that with each other. And we run together. Another one, Ephesians 4, 2 through 3, says that we're supposed to bear with one another in love. Again, carrying that load, carrying whatever someone else is carrying, it's not just theirs to carry. We share that with them. And we love them along the way. And sometimes loving is hard. We looked last semester. Sometimes loving is rebuking someone and calling them out and saying, hey, you got sin in your life that you got to deal with. Sometimes it's just encouraging them. Sometimes it's running with them. But accountability, holding each other up and bearing with one another's burdens. We're created for community. We're created to live where we have a sphere of people, where we have people who love us, who know us. We looked last week, we can be authentic. When someone steps out and is authentic, it's on you to hold them accountable. It's on us to hold them accountable. Once someone says, guys, here's where I'm wrestling. Here's where I'm hurting. You can't leave them in the dust because you yourself don't want to be left in the dust. You got to say, hey, you know what, man? I love you. And I know that's not what God has for your life, but come with me. We're going to do this together. That's accountability. That means it's on you. Because someday we're going to stand before our Creator, God, our Father. And He's going to say, hey, you remember that one time? You left Him. Or He's going to say, hey, way to go. Good and faithful servant. You lived out the church. You were the hands and feet of Christ to that girl who was in need. And I put you there just for that. It's on us to hold them accountable because we're accountable ultimately to God. Again, we are created for community. You need others and they need you. I struggle so much all the time with thinking I'm totally able to do this. No matter what it is, whether it was school, whether it was a test, oh, I'll study by myself, I got it. Whether it was sports, whether it was a sin struggle, whatever it was, I thought that God had given me enough, I'm okay. But I needed people in my life, and I didn't realize that until late in life. But we are created for us to rally around one another. You can't do alone. You absolutely cannot. So I'll go back to this race. It's called the Spartan Beast. But Spartan, what was so cool is we ran in groups of 300. They went every 30 minutes, and we ran with 300 people. And the whole reason is because they look back at that history in Sparta, this Grecian nation. Greece, if you don't know Grecian. Greece, this nation of Greece, where there was this battle against the Persian army. who ruled the world at that time. They were the biggest army. King Artaxerxes ruled the land. People were just, he would come and say, hey, you need to surrender. And they say, absolutely, yeah, I don't want you to kill me. And Sparta said, uh-uh, we're going to hold our ground. And so we ran in groups of 300 because there was a battle at Thermopylae where these 300 Spartan men, warriors, armed, ready, they could fight. They said, we're not going to let this enemy take us down. And they didn't do it by just running at them and trying to kill whoever they could and every man for himself and see how they could last. There were thousands of people fighting them. They said, we can't do this alone. We got to do it with us. We have to stand together as one because we live and die by our community. Those 300 warriors were a community. They were the armor for each other. They were protecting each other. They were advancing each other forward. If one man was weak, they were all done. They lived out community. Let's check this out. It's intense. And it's a crazy picture. But we don't see it. That's the battle we're in. That's the war we fight every day against sin. Is sin and the world is running at us with brutal force. Everybody else is giving in. You may be the Lone Ranger in your school. Man, I tell you, fight. Fight for community. Because there aren't going to be a lot of people around you who are. And you got to lean on the people that are around you. You got to lean on those around you and love them. And let them love you when you live in an authenticity. You're going to think that maybe you're the only one struggling. I know I was. When I was your age, I just felt all the time, man, I'm really struggling with this guilt. I'm really struggling with my pride, with how I see myself. I'm really struggling to think I can do it myself. I promise you, whatever it is, you're not the only one. That's the beauty of accountability. It's a bunch of broken believers saying, hey, I don't have all the answers, but I know God loves me and I know God loves you. And whatever you've got, come on, let me share your burden. Let's run this thing together. So you guys got to live that out in accountability. You saw those guys, when it came at them, they stood hard. I'll be honest, if I was in their situation, I'd be bolting. I'd say, uh-uh, I'll see you guys, good luck. But they said, I love the guy next to me. I love the guy behind me. I'll fight for him. Because I know that at some point, he's going to be fighting for me. We all need each other. And we live and die by our community. There's a cool verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Sometimes community is going to be hard. Sometimes you have to go to another believer and say, hey, look, I see this in your life. Something's got to change. You don't have to do it alone. We're going to do it with you. You've got to let that happen. And guys, it might be painful. It might be really, really hard. This verse, as guys, you think, yeah, as iron sharpens iron, we're going to go together and we're strong, iron. But there's more in this verse than you think about. What happened, so probably the guys in that battle, the Spartans, they had to prepare for war. Not only did they have to prepare their bodies physically, but they had to prepare their weapons. And back in the days, you couldn't just go buy a sword in a shop. You had to go to a blacksmith to have somebody make it. And they got this chunk of iron that was nothing, and they throw it in the fire. They just throw it in there. They get it really hot. But it gets to the point where it's soft. I'm sure that hurts. So they throw it in the fire. I didn't have a sword, but I've got this little pickaxe thing. And the blacksmith would take this thing. So it's not formed like this. Or let's say that it's dull. It has really no use. You go to war and maybe you could hurt somebody. But when we go to war, we need to be fully prepared. And if we've got somebody in our group who's not sharp, who needs growth, it may hurt them and it may hurt us. Because here's the thing. Iron sharpening iron. Kind of loud. Over and over. You know, if iron could speak, if this thing could speak, it'd be screaming. I'm serious. Just screaming in agony, saying, that hurts. Stop. But I know it's making him stronger. I don't do this just to hurt him. I do it because I know that after the pain, he's going to be sharp to take whatever comes his way. And so I challenge you guys. Are you willing to live in the kind of community, in the kind of accountability where you say, no matter what comes, I'm going to do what it takes so that you can grow, so that you can become a better man or woman of God? You're not doing it alone. I'm rallying around you. I'm coming with you. And we're going to do this together. Here's what accountability is not. Accountability can easily be for believers an excuse to just hang around, shoot the breeze, check off a box of, yeah, I've got people who are in my life and they know me. It's not a place where you just come and hang. Small group definitely is that. There is so much fun of small group, and I hope that's happening. But we want accountability to be part of your group. The first thing accountability is not, accountability is not just dealing with the symptom and totally missing the disease. So many times in our culture, we see someone struggling with a sin, whatever it is, and we say, hey, look, you got to stop that. But more likely than not, there's something way deeper going on in the heart. Jesus talked about that on the Sermon on the Mount. We studied that last summer. It's not just don't murder somebody. Don't harbor anger in your heart. There's a deeper issue. God says, I want you, all of your heart. And whatever is not mine, throw it in the fire. Let iron sharpen iron. Come on, let's grow together. It's not a place to just deal with the symptoms. Let's take gossip for an example. I wrestle with gossip. I know I did when I was your age. Girls, I know you love to talk. It's true. And that's a great thing about you. But let's say they're gossiping. Someone in your group is gossiping. You don't just say, hey, stop gossiping. Yeah, that'll help. But dig deeper. Love them enough to just say, hey, what? Why? Why are you gossiping? What's the deal here? What are you scared of? Are you so afraid of what people might think of you that you're projecting stuff on other people? Are you trying to get the attention from you so much that you're willing to risk a relationship to talk behind their back just so you can have positive attention and everyone's looking at you? There's a deeper issue, and that's what we got to deal with. We got to stop finding security in what people are thinking. We got to deal with the disease. This is a trite little phrase. Deal with the disease, which is sin, the heart, and stop dealing with the sneeze, the symptom. There's a deeper thing. If someone's sneezing, it's not just a sneeze we got to cure. We got to get whatever is starting. Maybe it's the flu. You don't want it. Another thing accountability is not, is it's not just a place to come and feel better about your life because everyone else is screwed up. And sometimes we're guilty of that. Sometimes we come and we just say, oh, what are you struggling with? Oh, man, my life is so much better compared to yours. You'd never say that to somebody, but I've thought it. It's not a place to just come and pat yourself on the back because God has blessed you more than someone else. And then it's also not a place where you come and you just say, hey, I've got a prayer request. Heard something. Someone's really struggling here. Let's pray. That in itself is a form of gossip. Pray for people. And if someone's in need, lift them up in prayer. They need that. But don't let small group, and when you're in accountability, be an excuse to just say, hey, I heard this about someone, so that you can spread gossip around. Not good. One thing I want you guys to know about the biggest thing is you've got to have trust. You've got to have trust. If you don't trust that person, you're not going to be authentic with them. If you don't trust that person, you're not going to listen to what they say. You're not going to let them come around you. You're not going to let them lift you up. You're going to just blow them off. So the biggest thing is what happens here stays here. You got to know. Whatever that is, whether it's one or two people, whether it's your small group, what's shared there, what people are wrestling with, that doesn't go anywhere. Now, what that applies to is don't take that to school and gain popularity because you've got the latest dirt on somebody. If someone is really in need, don't hold on to that. If you feel like, hey, I need to tell my parents with this because I really want to help them and I don't know how, that's okay. That's not going against this. But I want you to know is those people who are asking, hey, here's me pouring my life out, being authentic. These are my hurts. I don't know what to do. Don't go share that with somebody else because you would hate to have your trash laid out for the whole school to see. But it happens, and it's so sad. And we don't want to be that kind of church. Not Watermark, but you don't want, as followers of Christ, as ambassadors and representatives of Christ, to let that kind of talk flow out of you. So I'll challenge you. What happens here stays here. We got to lean on each other. We got to listen to each other. And sometimes we don't. Here's a fun example of somebody who should have leaned, but maybe didn't hear the right way. Yeah, that's a huge bummer. All right, bring it back, bring it back. So here's what I get out of that example. You got to lean into others. And yes, it's funny. Yes, it's a crazy thing that happened, and it was totally an accident. But I can look at that, and I can see an illustration of somebody who says, hey, come to me. Lean on me. I got you. You're safe. Come on. And they say, I'm not listening. That's what we do. That's what I did for a lot of my life. People were saying, the church was saying, hey, come on, we'll get you involved in a small group. We'll get you plugged in. We'll get you with other believers who are going to call you to truth. And I slowly started falling away from who was behind me ready to catch me. And eventually, I'm going to fall on my face, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be painful. It's probably going to be embarrassing. That's what's going to happen. That's what is the end goal. Or you can lean in to people who love you. It's still probably going to hurt. But you say, hey, we got you. Are you going to trust them? So here are the things that I want you to think about. Who's holding you accountable? What are they holding you accountable to? Are they asking specific questions? Not just asking, hey, are you good? Because all of us can get by with, yeah, I'm all right. I'm fine. That's the answer. That's the answer I love to use. Oh, I'm fine. When we all have stuff that we want to say, but we're too scared to say it. Be authentic. Let those people love you. Ask them specifically, hey, how are you doing in this area? How are you doing with gossip? How are you doing with lying to your parents? How are you doing with obeying your parents? How are you doing in the area of lust? How are you doing in reading your Bible? That's where I struggle a lot. That's the area I want to grow in, is discipline. And I've got guys in my life who we meet at least every other week. We're trying to meet every week, and they look me in the face. It's not a text conversation. It's not just in passing. I sit down with them. They look me in the face. And they say, hey, how you doing? How you doing here? How you doing there? That's what it takes. And sometimes I have to fail them and say, you know what? I'll be honest, I have not been reading my Bible a lot. I've been lazy. And they don't just say, thanks for telling us. Man, what a great thing. Let's move on. They say, hey, let's do something about this. Let's take action. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to text you every day and say, hey, what have you read today? Teach me. And that doesn't breed legalism. That doesn't make us check the box even more. But there's accountability, to use the word. There's somebody saying, hey, here's what you're looking for. Here's what God's calling you to. Here's what you want to do yourself. I'm going to call you to that. So don't just leave somebody in the dust. And if you're somebody who's wrestling, first off, if you're somebody who has never realized the need of a Savior, who has never felt that they've been loved by a God who created this world, man, He loves you. If you feel like you're just swimming and you have no hope, nowhere to go, know that Jesus is that hope. He died on a cross voluntarily, and He rose again because He loves you. And if you are someone who calls themselves a believer, who professes in the name of Jesus Christ, if you're sitting in a struggle with sin, you don't have to. You are freed by the power of Jesus Christ. He paid the price. You are justified, redeemed. You are no longer identified with sin, but you died with him, and one day we will be raised to newness of life. But we are now identified with Jesus, not with our former self. So I want to call you to bring that into the light, because that's where Satan has no power. He has power in darkness. When it's just sitting and nobody knows, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It may be painful to say, hey, here's where I am. Lay it on the table. But it will lead to life. When you throw on those lights the first time, it's pitch black, you throw on the lights, it's like, oh. Everyone's had a nap and it turns on, or your mom comes and wakes you up. But then you can see. You know where you're going. You're not stumbling over obstacles. And church, that's you guys. Not because you come to Watermark. But believers in Jesus Christ, let's challenge each other. Let's bear one another's burdens. Let's bear with each other in love. Hold each other up, because those obstacles are coming. You think you can do it by yourself, but you cannot. I've tried. Everybody's tried. But when that wall comes up, lean into the people around you and let them carry you over. Lord, thank you again that we don't have to live alone. Thank you first that you came and you died, that you love us. And thank you for the men and women in this room who love you and love the people around them. I pray that they lean into each other. I pray that they lay it out on the table, not so that others know, not so that we can go and gossip, but so that they can be known, so that it's all in the light, that there is no power that Satan has over them. But Lord, that we are completely surrendered to you. I pray that for myself, and I pray it for everybody in this room. Lord, give them boldness this week to be real, to be authentic, and then to live in accountability, to live in that community, and to run towards you, Jesus, to run towards holiness. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it has. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen.